Hello, and welcome to the Riverside Review, the podcast where we go in-depth about one of America's favorite teenage rascals, Huckleberry Finn. I'm your host, Madison Stash, and today we'll be joined by Christine Budd, Emma Hovland, Allison O'Connor, and Sophia Soteno. This week, we're going to be discussing the first few chapters of The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, more specifically, the character's personality and how it affects his decision-making. Let's do this! In order to truly understand The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, we first must understand just who our title character is. For that, we have Allison here to talk to us. Allison, what are some of the defining features of Huckleberry Finn's personality?
Well, our main character, Huck Finn, is definitely a mischievous rascal. At the ripe age of 13, he sneaks out at night and frequently smokes from a pipe, which is not normal for a 13-year-old. Despite speaking in a crass manner, Huck is ingenious and relies on himself and his wits to survive. He is actually pretty smart, which one would not expect. He is uncivilized and does not need the rigidness of attending school and mass daily like he has to while living with the widow. And unlike many citizens in his society, Huck prefers to live a simple life in the woods alone.
Now, we know that the widow is a person who really likes to live in civilization, and she wants Huck to do the same. So how has living with the widow affected Huck's personality or allowed it to shine through?
Well, since they have such differing views, we really see just truly who Huck is and how he logically thinks. Huck is very logical, and when the widow and Miss Watson both describe the good place or heaven in two different ways, Huck logically concludes that there are simply two different providences. Also, we see Huck's confidence. Huck is not afraid of telling the widow and Miss Watson what he really thinks, even though this often is differing from what they believe, and he tries to do what is best for himself.
Now, we've seen how Huck is playing off the widow and Miss Watson, but are there any other characters in the novel that Huck kind of plays off of?
Actually, yes. Tom Sawyer is Huck's best friend and the closest thing that he has to any family. Because of this, Tom has a high influence over Huck, but Huck doesn't just blindly buy into everything that Tom says and challenges Tom's authority, unlike the other boys in their gang, which goes back to Huck not believing in anything until he sees it for himself. Huck does not believe in anything until he sees it, unlike the other boys in their gang. However, Tom helps Huck come out of his shell and interact with other people in his community. He even gets Huck to join a gang.
So, as we can see, Huck was quite the wild child. However, as Allison said, one of his defining personality features was his practicality. Christine, how does this affect his life?
Well, his practicality just goes to show how he wants what is best for himself. According to him, if an action does not benefit him in some way, then there's no point in his doing it at all. His practical worldview tells him that if it will not impact him, then it is not relevant to him. There is no need for Huck to spend his time, or waste it, depending on how you look at it, doing things that only benefit others. This means his life is based almost entirely on what Huck thinks is best for himself.
How does this view of life affect his relationships with other people?
Well, since Huck wants what he considers important for himself, he's less likely to blindly trust other people. Instead, he will try it for himself and make a decision based on what he learns. Although he knows that others may only be trying to help, his practical view tells him to trust himself and his senses more than others. To others who don't know Huck as well, Huck may seem rude and indifferent. They likely think Huck does not care for what they say and that he's intentionally ignoring him. What they don't realize is that Huck is actually listening and internalizing what he thinks is important to his life. Huck is practical when he listens, knowing that some of what will be said is relevant to him and some will not. He chooses to accept things that seem important and then tests those ideas for himself later.
Obviously, Huck's practicality is a major factor in his decision-making. Emma, are there any key moments in the story where we see this personality trait shine through?
We see Huck using his practicality in his experiences with the gang. Huck chooses to follow Tom through a sense of personal gain. He does not have the adoration for Tom that is seen in the other boys, yet he remains under Tom's leadership. This is practical to Huck because it allows him a chance for wildness and escape from the civilization he hates. He follows Tom not out of adoration, but out of similar purpose. He also follows Tom's decisions only when he believes that they may benefit him.
Now, we know that Tom is pretty famous for manipulation and charisma. Earlier in the book, he convinced a group of boys to join a robber gang when he didn't even know what the word ransom means. Emma, how does Huck's practicality conflict with Tom's manipulation and embellishment?
Huck's practicality does not allow him to view Tom's lies and imaginings with the same reality that they hold for Tom. We see this when Huck goes with the gang to Cave Hollow. He only decides to go with them because of the prospect of seeing elephants and camels. Huck does not care about the reported Spaniards and Arabs because he can see that the gang could never face an armed or strong group. Upon arriving and finding a Sunday school, Huck sees that there are no elephants and challenges Tom on the topic. Tom answers that the soldiers and elephants were hidden by magicians. While Tom seems to actually believe that everything was hidden by magic, Huck believes that everything was as he saw it. We see the differences of Tom's imaginings and Huck's practicality when Huck states, "I judged all that stuff was just one of Tom Sawyer's lies. I reckon he believed in the Arabs and the elephants, but I think different. It had all the marks of a Sunday school." Huck has the practical sense to see beyond Tom's ideas and eventually chooses personal gain by leaving the gang. Huck's practicality allowed him to make choices in the gang based on personal gain rather than idolation.
So we've already talked about one instance where Huck's practicality has played a major role in his decision-making. Sophia, do you have another example of this?
Well, another important time when we see this characteristic of Huck's is in his decision-making in that he refuses to believe what he cannot see. Immediate results are very important to Huck, and this is especially highlighted when we read about his experience of the widow and Miss Watson trying to teach him religion.
How so?
Well, we see this in two instances. The first is when Miss Watson attempts to explain to Huck about the good and the bad place. Huck is so practical and, like is expected of any 13-year-old boy, literal, that he would rather not go to the good place, heaven, as the description isn't very appealing to him, which also displays Huck's will to only act in his own best interest. He finds going to the bad place a more logical option for him, as it sounds more fitting for him, and he wants to be where Tom is.
I get that, wanting to be with your best friend. Now, you mentioned two instances of this. What's the other one?
Well, the other instance demonstrates this characteristic of his a little bit more clearly. In the story, Miss Watson tells Huck that he should pray every day, and if he does so, he will get whatever he asks for. He tries to pray for fish line and hooks. He gets the line, but no hooks, and the widow then explains to Huck that he must pray for spiritual gifts, not material items. Huck decides that there is no worth or immediate advantage in this and quickly puts it out of his mind, once again showing the reader his see-it-to-believe-it attitude.
Well, guys, unfortunately, this is where we're going to have to stop our podcast for today. I would like to thank all of my amazing guests for their contributions, and I would like to thank you for listening to us. All of us here at the Riverside Review love discussing our favorite 1830s rapscallion, and we hope to see you all right back here next time. Until then, remember to take it easy and go with the flow of life. Bye!